This is an iHeart podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We have a little bit too much to go into tonight, so I'm going to try not to get sidetracked on this next thing. I'm going to try not to get sidetracked on this next thing for too long, but no promises. So one of the things about life that I've always found frustrating, I guess more than anything else, not funny, frustrating, is this. Whatever period of life I'm currently in, whether I'm 10, 20, 30, now I'm 41, doesn't matter. Whatever period of life I'm currently in, I'm sure this is just my natural arrogance or maybe it's human nature. I feel like I've got things kind of figured out at that point in time. You ever been that way? No, I know how life works. I certainly don't think I'm the smartest, wisest person to ever live, but I got it all figured out. I got things basically figured out. And every single time I will look back on my older self and say, "You idiot, you were totally wrong about this. You should have been thinking this way." But I didn't learn it until hard lessons. Hard lessons are normally how I woke up. And this is what I'm talking about when it comes to politically. Politically, I've been here before too. Politically, I have made this mistake before. Maybe you've made this mistake. I have dismissed people because I didn't think they were dangerous, or I didn't think they were smart, or I didn't think they were important, or I didn't think they were going to be around very long. I, for most of my political life, which I admit is not long, I didn't get into politics until I was 25, 26, 27. For most of my political life, I look back and I think, Jesse, man, you should have been paying attention to this guy more. Jesse, look, Barack Obama is a great example for me. When Barack Obama started running to be president, he was already a senator of Illinois, but no one knew who he was. He started running to be president. I didn't care. Okay, some Barack Obama running president, Democrat. Okay, I don't really care. Running against Hillary, he's probably going to lose. No big deal. And so early on, when they started digging into Barack Obama and they started figuring out Barack Obama's background is, well, nothing short of terrifying. And that Barack Obama, because he has so much association in his life with anti-American communists, with black liberation theology, Farrakhan types, all these, he has so much association with bad people that Barack Obama could never in a million years get a security clearance. He could not have in a million years. I really didn't pay attention or care that much. He's just a guy running against Hillary. What's the big deal? And boy, I really feel like I should have seen, not that it would have done any good, but I should have seen that coming. I should have looked at this guy and thought to myself, man, we should be careful here. This is a dangerous human being who's capable. Remember, the most dangerous people, it's actually not the guy who's a monster but looks like a monster. He's got one eye and a scar across his nose and the teardrop tattoo. The most frightening people are the monsters who are able to cloak it, who are able to cloak it with the cloak of nice and reasonable and moderate. And that's what Barack Obama was able to do so well. If you ever go back, this will apply to today. Just hang with me for a minute. If you ever go back and look at Barack Obama's speeches and his campaign videos, I remember listening to them. And I remember saying to myself more than once, man, he does sound pretty reasonable. Now, I hated him, but I remember listening and thinking, that's going to be appealing to people. I remember Barack Obama is the most pro-abortion president we've ever had by a mile. Barack Obama actually cast a vote at one point in time in his life. I believe this was in the Illinois State Senate, if I remember right. He cast a vote that babies born alive after a botched abortion should not receive medical care. That is way outside of the norm of even most Democrats in the country. Barack Obama was the most pro-abortion president ever. And I remember he gave a speech one time. I think it was at the Denver convention, if I remember right. He gave a speech and he talked about, hey, look, we don't agree on abortion, but I think we all can agree we want to reduce the number of them. And I remember thinking, I still hated him, but I remember thinking, well, yeah, that's a good point. Actually, yeah, we do. Oh, we're all just, who's very good at that. And there's another one out there right now. And I feel like what I'm about to say may not be appropriate. And by not appropriate, this is what I mean. I don't think there's anything you can do about it or anything I can do about it. But I feel like you're not worried enough about Gavin Newsom. I feel like I'm not worried enough about Gavin Newsom. And maybe right now, maybe you're sneering. Maybe you're saying, Jesse, I hate him. Maybe, look, hey, we got a bunch of listeners in California. Maybe you're right now listening and saying he is despicable. He could never get elected. I hate this guy. Let me pause you for a moment. You hate Gavin Newsom. I hate Gavin Newsom. We are on the same page. I am not singing Gavin Newsom's praises. I am telling you right now, we should start being very, very concerned about this person. Gavin Newsom is not only a radical communist nut job, he is a radical communist nut job that will have gargantuan amounts of communist money thrown behind him. Not just for, I mean, he can fundraise from the state of California alone with his donor base there and raise significant money when it comes to running for president. And that's before the communists around the country start raising him more money. Not only is he a committed communist, not only is he a piece of trash, a soulless sociopath, but Gavin Newsom is handsome. I'm sorry, I don't want to sound like I'm in the Air Force, but I know charisma when I see it. You can hate Trump all you want. Donald Trump has charisma, lots of it. You can hate Barack Obama all you want. I do. I love Trump. I hate Obama. Barack Obama has tons of charisma. Charisma is not like or dislike. Charisma is this how it is. I know you don't vote on that. I know you don't vote on handsome. I know you don't vote on charisma. I know you don't. But again, you don't decide elections. I don't decide elections. The normie norms who half pay attention, and they don't still start paying attention at all till 15 minutes before an election, they are sadly the ones who decide elections in this country. And Gavin Newsom, he is not Joe Biden. Where's my pants? I think I pooped in them. Gavin Newsom is young, well-spoken, handsome, that half brain dead suburban housewife. Yes, even the Republican, but she has the view on during the day. What do you think she's going to hear and see when she hears slicked back hair Gavin Newsom sounding very reasonable? In fact, maybe I'll vote for him.
I mean, the Second Amendment is becoming a suicide pact, it feels like. I mean, it's just, and that's the only question the community wants. How do you get it? What about our kids when they're going to school? What more can we do? And, you know, again, we look at that all the time. I mean, we did another half dozen gun safety bills last year. We'll continue to find whatever loopholes we can. We continue to lead the national conversation on gun safety reform.
I know that audio was kind of crap, but Gavin Newsom, and I don't know whether I should even say this because it's not like there's something you can do about it. It's not like there's something I can do about it. I do want you to keep in mind that about 60% of the voting public, they're women. Women vote Democrat also about 60% of the time. That's just naturally how more women vote because they vote more on emotions than men do. And the Democratic Party has no facts, all emotions. That is appealing to many American women. I don't care if these facts offend you, by the way. You can email me all you want. I don't care. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This is the truth of what it is. Gavin Newsom is going to be very, very appealing for women. There is no question about it. And I don't know. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do. But I'm telling you right now, mark my words. Chris, what is it? It's January 24th? January 24th, 2023. You might want to write this down. Gavin Newsom is somebody we should probably be afraid of. All right? There. I said it. I got that off my chest. Now, some emails. Someone wants to talk Heavy D and Trump. The Biden think tank. What is this? How do they work? Because there's controversy surrounding the Biden think tank. Let's talk about think tanks. Let's talk about Bill Gates. Catholic churches under assault. The debt ceiling. Should you care about the debt ceiling? I mean, people have been talking about it forever. Why should you care at all? all that and still so much more to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, something else that's always going to be a part of the Jesse Kelly Show is preparations. I talk about them all the time, don't I? Even in boring ways. Do you have emergency food? Get some. Do you have a way to get clean water? If you don't, you should get some. Have a way. I don't care what that is. Tablets, straws. Do you have a way, if clean water stops coming out of your faucet, to access clean water? As far as every day, forget about the zombie apocalypse stuff, every day. Do you have something 2 feet away from you or closer right now that will allow you to stop a 200-pound violent man who wants to hurt you? If one comes up to you right now on the treadmill, in your home, at the office, as you're walking to your car, however you're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show, a 200-pound violent man wants to hurt you. Can you stop him? Are you sure? Get a hero arrow on you. Get your daughter you sent away from home a hero arrow. It's non-lethal. She has no excuses. If she does something stupid, and she might, and shoots herself in the face with it, she'll be in pain, but she won't die. Shoots pepper gel, but it will save her life. It will stop somebody very evil from hurting your baby girl or your son or your wife. Go to hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount. You don't need a concealed carry permit. Again, there are no excuses. Hero2020.com. Code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And just a reminder, the elites at the World Economic Forum are still out there meeting. And in case you're wondering how these people see themselves, we've played this guy for you before on the show. Truly one of the monsters of the planet right now. Yuval Noah Harari is his full name. Anyway, this is a little long. It's a couple minutes long, but I think it is important for you to listen. Now, I want you to keep in mind as you listen to this, this is not some obscure internet group that just a bunch of right-wingers are worried about. Congressmen, senators, presidents, when these people call, those people listen. The United Nations has publicly announced their partnership with this guy's group to work with them on their plans to implement their plans by 2030. What kind of plans are those? How do these people view themselves? Well, I want to thank you, Yuval Noah, for laying it out pretty well.
We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens, because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? This will be decided by the people who own the data. Now, why is data so important? It's important because we've reached the point when we can hack not just computers, we can hack human beings and other organisms. Now, what do you need in order to hack a human being? You need two things. You need a lot of computing power, and you need a lot of data, especially biometric data. But control of data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships.
Elites.
By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it. All of life, for 4 billion years, dinosaurs, amoebas, tomatoes,
just pause
humans.
It for a second. Pause it for a quick second, Chris. I'm gonna let the rest play. It's still got another minute left. I'm going to let the rest play. But I actually just want you to take a moment and just marinate on what you just heard. And understand this is not, again, like I said, some obscure human being. This human being has senators, presidents, prime ministers, kings. He has them on speed dial and they answer when he calls. How often does he refer to himself and his compatriots as elites? How they're going to hack you. They have all your data. They know everything about your biometrics. They have plans for you. Just something to keep in mind. Anyway, go on, Chris.
All of life, For 4 billion years, dinosaurs, amoebas, tomatoes, humans, all of life was subject to the laws of natural selection and to the laws of organic biochemistry. But this is now about to change. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds, the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution. And at the same time, science may enable life, after being confined for 4 billion years to the limited realm of organic compounds, science may enable life to break out into the inorganic realm.
Setting everything else aside, let me ask you an honest question. Then we're going to move on, right? Because there's only so much you can digest from that level of creepiness. But let me ask you a question. You just heard how he describes himself as an elite, and his other friends, they're all elites, and they already have what they need to hack you. Keep in mind, they have what they need. They have your data. They have gargantuan amounts of your data. He mentions the clouds, the tracking, the DNA, the everything. They have gargantuan amounts of your data. They have what they need to hack you. And then he goes on to say that we'll be able to do something that four billion years of humanity, or whatever he said, was not able to do. They'll be able to do something. So let me ask you a very serious question. That human being, with his, quote, mission that he quite clearly feels he has on this planet, how hesitant do you think he'll be to kill a billion or two people? Does that sound like the type of person who's going to be held back by you and everyone you know dying? Doesn't sound like it, does it? It is really important to understand this savior mentality if we're ever going to understand the 21st century monsters who really are going to kill us all if we don't stop them. Because we have monsters here. They just sound more like nerds than Hitler now. But we have the same kind of monsters. In fact, they're worse. Speaking of which, I've got a worse one I'm going to play for you, or I'm going to read you about here in just a moment. Then we'll talk about Biden's think tank and modern times, the new generation. Now, I personally, I don't think Yuval Noah will ever move beyond the God of the Bible. Don't think that's something he's going to be able to pull off. If you want to talk to me about that, we can always do so in the Holy Land where he won't be.
We got this hilarious email.
You got this email. I know I moved away from the microphone, Chris. Shut up. This email said, I would love to go on the trip to the Holy Land because I know during the cruise on the Sea of Galilee, you will step over the rail of the ship and attempt to walk on water. You will not be able to stop yourself. I'm so doing that. I'm doing it. If Peter can do it, why can't I do it? I don't see it. I don't know what Peter's got on me. If you want to see me walk on water, then you have to come to the Holy Land with us. Jesse Kelly Show family, me, the wife, the kids, Chris, Michael, we're going in July. Seriously, no pressure, but they opened up some more spots because they had sold out. July 17th to the 26th. If you want to come with us, there are now some spots open. Those are obviously going to fill up pretty quickly again, but it is what it is. July 17th to the 26th, we're going to the Holy Land. History of the Holy Land together. ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. You want to watch me walk on water like Peter? You'll get to see that. ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse or 877-234-3002. Now, enough about me walking on water. Let's talk about these people with delusions of grandeur. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we're going to get to the elite still, creating a world, better world for us beyond the God of the Bible, as he said, Chris. Very, very kind of them. Before we get to that, let's get to a couple emails, because I've been lax. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, I'm absolutely done with Trump. If Heavy D runs, he'll get my vote. If not, maybe I'll just vote Democrat and get it over with and let it fall where it may. Trump is starting to remind me of a prideful, senile old goat. The vax is killing people and depopulating the world, and Trump appears to be part of that. Sad. Okay. Well, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I don't work for Team Trump. I don't work for Team DeSantis. I'm not on anyone's side but me. Remember, I'm on Team Me. I don't know what you want me to say. The truth is, the hard truth is, Donald Trump is very, very, shares a huge part of the responsibility for the lockdowns, which he supported 100%. He did. You can lie to yourself all you want. He has a huge amount of responsibility for the vaccines, for the lack of liability for these pharmaceutical companies, for the harm that's being done. And he won't back off of that so far. Before you cut bait on the Trump train, though, may I offer a suggestion? Maybe wait until Donald Trump gets out of Mar-a-Lago, gets away from the media, steps away from these loser consultants he's surrounded himself with. Maybe wait until Donald Trump returns to the people where he should be. Remember, when Donald Trump is good, when Donald Trump is dynamite, it's when Donald Trump is out there amongst you, when he's out there amongst the people, figuring out what you like, what you don't like, going off the feedback of the people. Maybe this is wishful thinking, because I assume Trump's going to be the nominee, and so he's going to be our guy in 2024. I mean, I know Heavy D can beat him. I'm not saying otherwise. I just assume Trump's going to beat him at this point in time. So maybe this is wishful thinking. I'm hoping a change of environment will get us a better version of Trump. Whatever this version has been for the past couple months is the worst version I've ever seen in my entire life. It's whiny, it's NFTs, it's campaign events with Lindsey Graham, it's pushing the vaccine. I don't know who this is, but this isn't the drain the Trump, the drain the swamp Trump. It's not. I don't know how you're doing campaign events with this person.
What are your national security questions?
Same thing for Trump. I mean, why did you do it? What were in the documents? How were they held? Who had access to them? Let me just say this. I've known President Biden for a long time. I don't think I would be shocked if there's anything sinister here.
Okay. Look, right now, what we're getting is the worst version of Trump. Oh, I should say I hope. That's not fair. I hope what we're getting right now is the worst version of Donald Trump we'll see. Campaign hasn't really gotten going yet. The rallies haven't really started yet. Surrounded by a bunch of DC losers just blood-sucking him for money. Let's hope this is his low moment. This is his bottom-out moment. You ever known anybody who struggled with drugs or alcohol? When did they start their journey to get better? Maybe you struggle with drugs and alcohol. When did you start your journey to get better? The night after you took down two bottles of Jim Beam and peed on the front porch. Let's get to another email. Hello, Jesse. I listen to your show every chance I get. I've been wondering why you call Democrats communists. I agree they're just as bad. I'm just not sure I quite understand exactly what evidence there is to call them communists specifically. Okay. Well, one, I want you to keep this in mind. I want you to keep this in mind. No matter how many low-T GOPers on the right whine about me calling them communists, I mean, you do understand the leading voices in the Democratic Party today, at the very least, call themselves socialists, right? Bernie Sanders is open about being a socialist. AOC is responsible for the entire, quote, climate change policy of the modern Democratic Party. She put out that radical Green New Deal, and immediately the entire party adopted it. She calls herself a socialist. She calls herself this. Remember the Antifa types. They carry around flags with the hammer and sickle on them. Signs with the hammer and sickle on them, calling themselves communists. Black Lives Matter. The founders of Black Lives Matter. They came out on camera and they didn't say we were trained by Marxists. They said we're trained Marxists. I mean, you have them basically putting different words. This is the vice president.
Equality suggests often everybody should get the same thing. Well, that often assumes everybody started out in the same place, as opposed to equity, which is everyone should end up in the same place. And if you then understand not everybody started out in the same place, you understand some people need more. So we all end up in the same place.
That could be Vladimir Lenin. If he was in a Willie Brown too. That could be Vladimir Lenin. Of course they're communists now. And here's what they've done so effectively. Remember we talked before on the show about the fences they build around the right? They're constantly building fences around you of things you can and cannot say, the things you're allowed to say and things you aren't allowed to say, because they chop away at this little by little. Oh, don't say this. Oh, don't say that. Oh, that's offensive. Oh, you can't do this. And you don't realize it's happening. You can't see the fences being built, but you wake up one day and you figure out you're totally boxed in. You're now not allowed by society to say certain truths because those areas have been walled off. Maybe the fence is a bad example. Maybe I should call it a brick wall. They're building these brick walls around you, and you don't realize it until you try to move. Oh, no, there's a wall here. There's a wall there. They've actually used this very, very, very effectively on the low-T GOP politicians and radio guys and writers and TV guys. You'll see them, you could spot them a mile away because you'll see them say things like, ooh, we don't want to be crazy. Let's not associate with the crazies the second they talk about the crazies. For instance, if you have one of these people, because there's only like five of them, one of these people in the House of Representatives who's showing concern for the despicable conditions our January 6th political prisoners are being held in. This is totally unjust. We have political prisoners in this country. They're being way overcharged. They're being treated horribly. And you can't get 10 members of the House of Representatives, the Republicans, to speak out on their behalf. And the second someone does, you will see 90% of the right talk about, no, the crazies, the extremes. Hold on. That's like their job, standing up for people. But the right has been so fenced in around things, including things like January 6th, that you must refer to everything in only a certain way. When we talk about crime and crime in the urban black community in this country, you will see endless amounts of people on the right who were 100% fenced in, whether they believe it or not. Well, I'm just not really sure. Well, there are a lot of factors. I don't really know. Nobody wants to speak honestly. You saw this, speaking of that, you saw this especially when it came to all the crimes against Jews in New York and all the crimes against Asians across the country that were committed by black people over the past couple years. They were committed by black people, and what did you see? Not just out of the left, out of the right. We need an examination of why this is happening. Stop Asian hate. Stop anti-Semitism. Okay, Who's doing the Asian hate? Who's doing the anti-Semitism? Whoa, don't bring race into this. You see it endlessly. The fences that have been built up around you. The fences that have been built up around you. That's what they do. That's how they get you. And so we have to be careful about that. We always have to be careful about how they have defined what is and what isn't. They have done this very successfully when it comes to describing them. They want to be described as liberal. They want to be described as left, as biased. They know the term communist creates dark pictures in your mind. So they built the rhetorical fences around the right so the right would stop using these terms. And it has been very, very, very successful, extremely successful. The right now bows to this. They obey it. No, hey, don't be extreme. Don't be one of the crazies. All right. You need to stay away from the doctor. That's the truth. You need to stay away from the doctor. Our medical institutions, they're bad. They're really, really bad right now. And if you talk to people like I do inside the community, you know that they're bad and they're heading worse. And if you look at the next generation of medical students, they're heading a lot worse. Part of avoiding the doctor is making sure we have the vitamins and minerals we need. I tell you, I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every day. A female vitality stack should be taken every day. I have the lit powder pretty much every day. Every morning the wife makes a superfood smoothie, that lit powder goes in there. But it's way more than just all that. They are loaded with natural herbal supplements, ways to stay healthy, ways to avoid the doctor's office. Go to Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, get you 35% off a subscription. Chalk.com, promo Jesse. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Reminding you, if you missed any part of the show, you can get the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. This monster. You remember that audio we played for you earlier with the Yuval Noah Harari? Headline, Bill Gates warns Australia the next pandemic could be man-made and brutal. The next pandemic, huh? What are we calling the last one? And what are we considering the pandemic to be? Speaking of language and words and the communists boxing us in with words, if you ask somebody, anybody, about the pandemic, they will probably tell you what? COVID-19, obviously. COVID, coronavirus, COVID-19. Of course. Well, that is interesting because I'm looking at a headline here. America has suffered 300,000 non-COVID excess deaths since 2020. Surges in deaths come from cancer, heart disease, and drug overdoses. So what that means is in the past 3 years, we've suffered 300,000 more people have died than normally do during that time. And they died from cancer. Well, you know what they say about cancer? Cancer is one of those horrible things that's touched everyone. But what's the key to cancer? Finding it early. Early detection. Let me ask you something. Just curious. We got this virus, right? A virus. Almost everyone survives, like 99.9%. I'm not saying COVID isn't real, but almost everyone survives it. And in response to a virus that almost everyone survives, we canceled cancer screenings over and over and over again. We canceled cancer screenings in the name of coronavirus. Oh, another one in here, heart disease. Oh, that's interesting. Heart disease. You have any idea how much the heart disease, heart attacks, strokes, how many of those incidents have increased since the rollout of the therapeutic? What if the pandemic wasn't COVID? What if the pandemic was the response? Have you thought about that? What if the real pandemic was the response? Oh, there was a pandemic. A pandemic that costs, gosh, how many lives, how many livelihoods, how many people's mental health, whatever the case may be. Oh, there was most definitely a pandemic. I'm just not quite so sure it was COVID-19. That's all I'm going to say. All right, let's get on to some things. Jesse, when I was serving in the Middle East, I learned a local saying that you should be careful not to let the camel get his nose under the tent because before you knew it, the entire camel would be inside the tent. I feel like this is a great analogy for how we let the commies take over everything. Now everything is worse and just smells real bad. Well, we were just talking about the fences these people build for us. The fences, the language fences and things like that they build in. Don't call us communists. What? That's radical. Hey, you Nazi socialist, you Nazi white supremacists, don't you call us communists. That's what they say all the time. You're a Nazi white supremacist. Whoa, don't be extreme. And then the right will say, yeah, yeah, we don't want to be extreme. We can't be like them, guys. Just call them Democrats. You know one of the great examples of this? Maybe you've done this. I bet you I've done this. So no finger pointing. Have you ever used the line? Or have you ever heard the line from someone on the right? Not the left, someone on the right. Have you ever heard this line before? Ever? Let's get politics out of education. Hey, politics are let's get politics out of education, guys. You want to talk about the communists using your values against you and fencing you in. A flesh and blood human being is going to be teaching your child for 7-8 hours a day. Not a robot, a flesh and blood human being. Human beings have biases. Human beings have prejudices. Human beings have values of some kind. Good ones, bad ones, all kind. Your child is going to be taught values by whoever teaches them. Period. End of story. Get politics out of schools? What? How about putting your politics in schools? That's anti-communism. Anti-communism is, we don't want to be like them. No more politics. We tried that for 30, 40 years. I just want little Billy to learn math. He's not going to learn math. He's going to learn whitey sucks while doing some math problems on the side. This belief that there can be some kind of vacuum, there can be some kind of void, this neutrality void, where we'll all just float and exist. We won't go any specific direction, is insane. It's totally against human nature. And yet most of the right will tell you today, if you go ask your normie neighbor, votes Republican every election, go ask them what they think about education. One of the first lines out of their mouth will be, I just want the politics out of it. I don't want the politics out of my kids' education. I want their education to be highly political with my politics. I want my kids to graduate high school, and this won't be a problem, being the most hardcore anti-communists who've ever graduated high school in this country. I want them to know everything about the evil of the communists and the loss of life that's at stake and the misery. And I want them to believe it's their mission in life to fight against these people. And I want them to learn that in school. That's the truth. All right. Now, the think tank. I've been teasing this. Let's get to some emails and the think tank and the anti-police riots and working at Google. And let's talk also about your dog. Yesterday, Fred, as you know, is a bit of an affectionate animal. He demands physical affection all day long. He will come put his head in your lap. He'll bump your hand with his head. Hey, why aren't you scratching my ears? Why aren't you loving on me? And if you're not doing that, if you don't do that, after he gets done bumping you, what he'll do is he'll sit down in front of you and just stare at you because he knows that just destroys everyone and soon you will find yourself scratching him behind the ears. And the wife said to me, what are we going to do when he dies? And I don't know what to tell her. All I could tell her was, yeah, that day's going to hurt. And hey, we give him rough greens, tack on another year or two at the end, huh? That's what rough greens can do for you. Keep your dog healthy. You pour it on your dog's food. It's a supplement, not new dog food. Pour it on your dog's food. Keep them around a little longer, huh? They have free trial bags right now. Watch your dog get healthier. Watch your dog get healthier. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. That's R-U-F-F, by the way. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Free trial bag. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.